朋友们，大家好，今天是5月2号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国总统特朗普表示说，他相信新冠病毒是来自中国武汉的病毒实验室。不过，美国的情报机构发表声明说，相信病毒并非人造，并且会继续对新冠病毒的起源进行严谨的调查。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
截至美国时间5月1号星期五为止呢，美国境内感染新型冠状病毒的确诊人数达到了大约110万人，而死亡人数呢，已经大约是64000人。特朗普总统之前接受路透社专访的时候呢，他说新冠病毒就是不要在中国呢，不要让他竞选连任的一个证明。那么星期四呢，在白宫，特朗普总统表示病毒来自武汉的说法，他有信心。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
And my question is, have you seen anything at this point that gives you a high degree of confidence that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was the origin of this virus?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
同样在星期四呢，4月30号，美国的这个情报部门，美国国家情报总监办公室也针对此事发出了声明。声明当中说，情报界认同科学界普遍的观点，那就是新冠病毒不是人造或经过基因改造的。情报界将会继续严格审查新的信息和情报，以确定疫情爆发是经由接触感染动物引起的，还是由武汉某实验室的意外事故引起的。那么针对这个病毒的这个扩散呢，特朗普总统他在白宫说，其实有很多种可能性，包括是中国放任病毒来扩散等等。但是他认为呢，有可能其实情况是这个事情超出了中国的控制范围之内。那么他指责中国呢，为什么可以让中国人出国，例如说让中国人到欧洲等等。那不过呢，其实我们知道今天到底哪一个国家的国民能不能够入境美国，这个是由美国政府自己来决定的。那么此前呢，特朗普总统也呼吁中国要让美国的调查人员到中国进行调查。但是星期四呢，被问到说他是否会坚持这样做的时候，特朗普总统却说，中国现在对于美国至少还算是努力的保持透明。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
You insisting or would you insist on China allowing U.S. investigators into that lab to make?
Yeah, I don't want to go into that. We're going to see. So far, I think China's been. Trying to be, or at least they seem to be trying to be somewhat transparent with us, but we're going to find out. You'll be learning in the not too distant future. But it's a terrible thing that happened. Whether they made a mistake or whether it started off as a mistake and then they made another one, or did somebody do something on purpose? Say, hey, you know, I don't understand how traffic, how people weren't allowed into the rest of China, but they were allowed into the rest of the world. That's a hard question for them to answer.
那我们知道呢，直到3月27号，就3月底的时候呢，特朗普总统还在推特上表示说，他与习近平有良好的沟通，双方呢就这个新冠病毒进行了详细的讨论。中国已经对病毒有深刻的了解，美中两国正在紧密的合作，并且呢，特朗普总统还对他致上高度的敬意。但是呢，在4月30号，在白宫当中呢，有记者就询问了特朗普总统说，既然他认为中国要为新型冠状病毒的疫情负起责任，那么他是否会来要求习近平要负起责任？特朗普总统做出了以下的回答。
Well, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. But certainly, it could have been stopped. It came out of China, and it could have been stopped. And I wish they stopped it. And so does the whole world wish they stopped it, John.
那么白宫呢，决定是在4月30号的这个社交距离的政策的最后一天不再延长，所以呢，在5月1号的时候就已经这个停止了社交距离的政策。那特朗普总统呢，也在今天，也就是星期五，前往大卫营进行度假。那么许多的州呢，现在也开始放松与疫情管制相关的一些的措施。不过呢，我们可以看到当中许多的州还是他们的感染的病例以及死亡的人数还是在节节上升，包括了密西根州啊、现在呢，这个他们的州长希望能够继续保持管制的措施，但是有许多的抗议的民众带着枪支进入了这个州政府跟州议会当中来进行抗议。不过目前我们看到，在密西根州他们的感染人数是美国的第三高。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
美国国会要求中国政府对新冠疫情在全球失控的声浪越来越高。 国会共和党领袖更是要求两党议员在返回华盛顿之后对中国新冠疫情的起源进行全面的调查。来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
美国国会呼吁就新冠病毒起源和传播展开全面调查的呼声可以说是越来越高。众议院共和党医师连线共同主席、来自田纳西州的共和党众议员洛伊在最近接受美国之音采访时表示，美国两党议员最早是在一月底从美国行政和卫生部门那里听取了有关新冠病毒的简报。不过洛伊议员批评说，美国一开始从世界卫生组织那里所得到的是错误甚至是虚假的信息。洛伊议员还提到了因最近引起各界猜测和怀疑的武汉病毒研究所。议员表示，至今还没有人能够厘清病毒起源的真相，而这是一个很大的问题。我们来听听洛伊议员怎么说。
We don't even really know the origin of the virus. Remember, we've had so much misinformation that allegedly came from a wet market. And then we know there's a level 4 virology lab there in Wuhan. And there's an investigation going on. Did the person maybe they were studying the virus in the Wuhan lab, and that is how it got out. That was the patient one. But we don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you can't believe any of the information you get out of China because some of it's so ridiculous. You get an epidemic, and now a world pandemic, and you have claims weeks ago that we don't have a single case here. Well, all that means is you're either lying about it or you're not testing anybody.
在谈到美国国会接下来将采取什么行动来向中国政府施压的问题上，曾经作为美军派驻在韩国长达13个月，并在期间到访过中国、香港、越南和台湾的洛伊议员表示，他认为美国接下来应该从经济着手，让中国感受到压力。我们接下来听听议员的说法。
Get the Chinese attention. Look, this has nothing to do with the Chinese people. This has to do with the Chinese government. I have many, many friends who are Chinese that have come here and live in this country now. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with their government, the structure of their government, and how suppressive it is. You can see what's going on in Hong Kong right now. You saw what happened, which was tragic for the medical professionals who tried to warn the world in China. I have great respect for the doctors there and nurses who took care of all those people in their horrific conditions. And the way you hold them accountable...is that you begin to get their attention economically. And I think that's how you do it. And I think probably you're going to see that. We've talked about in our Congress about supply chains, about how we change those. I think companies around the world are seeing that it's an unreliable source that can't be trusted.
目前在国会当中主张向中国政府问责甚至索赔的大多是共和党人。民主党议员虽然也抨击中国政府缺乏透明度，并谴责北京打压吹哨人医生，不过民主党议员大多是把批评矛头对准了特朗普政府的抗疫措施。但民主党议员在向政府问责的同时，他们也将焦点锁定在武汉病毒研究所。民主党参议员莫菲和马基这个星期稍早致函国务卿蓬佩奥，要求国务院提供所有对武汉病毒研究所安全和管理担忧的相关信息。议员表示，唯有厘清事情的真相，才能够避免大流行病再次爆发。以上是美国之音记者李怡华、钟月哲在华盛顿的电视报道。
国际社会因为新冠疫情而向中国政府追责索赔的声音越来越多，这其中的缘由有哪一些？我们一起去看一看。
美国总统特朗普星期一说，美国对中国处理新冠疫情不满，正在进行认真的调查。他还说，有很多方式让中国为疫情对美国和全世界造成的巨额损失承担责任。
There are a lot of ways you can hold them accountable. We're doing very serious investigations, as you probably know. And we are not happy with China. We are not happy with that whole situation.Because we believe it could have been stopped at the source, it could have been stopped quickly, and it wouldn't have spread all over the world. And we think that should have happened. So we'll let you know at the appropriate time, but we are doing serious investigations.
除了总统之外，以共和党人为主的一些国会议员正在推动法案，追究中国共产党政府的责任，并且有可能要求中国赔偿损失。另外，在欧洲、亚洲和非洲，越来越多的个人、地方政府和律师团体纷纷将中国政府告上法庭，向中国追责和索赔。 美国海军战争学院国际法教授卡拉斯卡告诉美国之音，向中国问责非是因为疫情最早在中国爆发，而是因为中国政府早期在应对疫情的时候违反了国际卫生条例，并没有履行相关的法律义务。
It's not because there was a pandemic, because a pandemic can happen, and it might happen even if everybody does the best that they can. The problem is that China had a legal duty to inform the World Health Organization.And be transparent. China agreed in 2005 to the international health regulations. The IHR are a binding treaty that China is a party to, and China agreed, to be transparent and to provide all the information to the World Health Organization.
越来越多的资料显示，从12月8日武汉官方所承认的第一例病人被发现，到1月23日武汉封城前，也就是疫情爆发的关键时候，中国媒体有意误导民众，让民众感到疫情不严重。非但如此，中国政府还对发出疫情警报的李文亮等医生进行打压。更重要的是，中国并没有及时向世界卫生组织提供人传人以及医护人员传染的信息。根据2005年修订的国际卫生条例，各成员国负有对国际关注的突发公共卫生事件作出迅速反应的法律义务，监督并共享有关潜在爆发的所有信息，包括临床说明、实验室的结果、风险来源和类型、人类病例和死亡人数、影响疾病传播的条件以及所采用的卫生措施。值得指出的是，2005年修订国际卫生条例是因为在2003年中国政府隐瞒 SARS 疫情，导致病毒蔓延到28个国家，造成774人死亡。中国也没有根据国际卫生条例的要求遏制疫情的发展。在美国政府2月2号宣布对中国断航时，中国外交部发言人华春莹甚至指责美国实在太不厚道。武汉市市长周先旺曾承认，在1月23日武汉封城前，大约500万武汉人离开了武汉，其中一些人前往到世界各地。
In fact, if you remember, Xi Jinping, said that, that countries should not stop air flights from China. When he knew, when he had already stopped air flights from Wuhan inside China, he knew that it was dangerous and that it was spreading.So he's actually individually culpable, along with the other people in the Communist Party regime. And they have blood on their hands. There's no excuse for it. And I think states should take legal countermeasures against the Chinese regime.
在中国的疫情缓解之后，中国开始向全球疫情严重的国家提供物资援助和派遣医疗援助队。并试图用这种方式打造自己是负责任的大国形象。另外，中国还试图通过病毒可能是美军投送、病毒源头不一定是武汉等叙事方式来改写疫情的历史。迈克尔·奥斯林是斯坦福大学胡佛研究所的研究员，他3月31日在《国家评论》杂志发表文章说，向中国问责是出于道义、全球治理以及未来的需要。他说，世界必须确保中国政府为自己的过失负责。他写道，如果中国成功地改写疫情的历史，结果会更加的糟糕。美国之音思阳华盛顿报道。
在5月3号世界新闻自由日即将到来之际，有活动人士警告说，在新冠疫情期间，全球都有政府打压记者的工作，甚至连成熟的民主国家也是如此。来看报道。
媒体权力组织无国界记者连续第四年将朝鲜排在其新闻自由指数排名的最后一位。根据朝鲜官方媒体的报道，该国新冠病例为零，科学家们对此提出了异议。无国界记者英国办事处主任瑞贝卡·文森特表示，新冠疫情期间，许多国家新闻自由受到削弱。
Some of the states that were already cracking down on press freedom have accelerated those crackdowns now, and others, and actually some of the same states, are targeting journalists who are trying to report the truth about what's happening in their countries and retaliating against those who do. Sometimes we can talk about it.In an almost theoretical way, sort of what press freedom means to all of us. But now we can see that actually the absence of press freedom or severe restrictions on it can have at times deadly consequences.
匈牙利出台新的法律，威胁要对任何被判定妨碍新冠病毒抗疫措施的人处以5年徒刑。 记者们说，他们担心会仅仅因为做自己的本职工作就会遭到监禁。在包括美国和英国在内的其他民主国家当中，活动人士表示，新冠疫情下政府的透明度正受到威胁。联合国秘书长最近表达了他的担忧。
More than ever, governments must be transparent, responsive, and accountable. Civic space and press freedom are critical.
无国界记者的文森特说，一些国家已经取得了进步。
So this year we can look at the Maldives, Malaysia and Sudan as examples of countries that have implemented reforms and risen up very quickly, substantially in the index. These are all countries where we've seen changes of government.
人身安全仍然是一个大问题。无国界记者说，2019年有49名记者遇害。
Although fewer journalists in 2019 were killed in conflict zones, a greater number than ever were killed in countries that are meant to be at peace. And so these are very often journalists who are being deliberately targeted.
在新闻自由指数中排名前五位的都是欧洲国家，但是那里也有一些新闻记者遇害的令人瞩目的案例，其中包括去年在北爱尔兰遇难的拉莱麦基，2018年在斯洛伐克被害的让·库西亚克和他的未婚妻马蒂娜·库斯尼洛娃，以及2017年在马耳他丧生的达芙妮·加里奇亚，他的家人仍在为他伸张正义。美国之音记者李奇维尔，伦敦报道。
宣布将基准利率维持在0%到0.25%之间不变，这对于经济意味着什么？而新冠疫情对于金融服务业又产生了哪些影响？就此，我采访了 PNC 金融服务集团副总裁、高级经济师叶文斌先生。今天我们来看采访的第二部分。
另外一方面，我们看到昨天啊，美联储宣布将基准利率维持在0%到0.25%之间，那么这对经济有什么影响呢？
美联储四月份的货币政策不变的主要的意义就是美联储已经使出了非常大力量的货币政策支持，在好多方面一个是基准利率基本上降到零了，也是重启了量化宽松政策。而且推出了好多新的这些流动性的工具，其实在美联储发布这个货币政策决定之前的前一天前两天，刚刚改了对地方政府，就是州政府和市政府的发债的就是的这些政府债权的一个流动性工具，放松了这个工具对政府支持的条款，所以美联储在这个正式决定政策的会议上没有不变，就意味着可以做出的所有的支持已经做出去了。
最后一个问题啊，我们目前看到这个新冠疫情对于美国各行各业都产生了很大的影响，那么在您看来，对您所在的这个金融服务业有哪方面的影响呢？
金融服务业会跟美国实体经济同步走的，也就是说在美国经济好的时候，金融业也会同样有好的业绩，所以就是介入这次经济衰退，金融业肯定会受到影响的。但是呢，值得注意到的是在尤其在三月份，就是资本市场波动非常大的时候， 金融服务业没有像2008-2009年经济就是金融危机的时候有公司介入很困难的那种状况。这个就是上次经济危机以来对金融监管的这个力量加大了而这些金融的机构的就是资本水平更高就是简单的说是为这种很糟糕的就是可能性已经做好了准备。所以这个对美国复苏的前景也是一个也是一个优点，也就是说金融业可以容忍这次危机。
嗯，好的，非常感谢您今天接受我们的采访。
好，谢谢你再欢迎我上美国之音了。
嗯，谢谢。
最近发布的经济数据显示，新冠疫情为美国的经济带来了沉重打击，这也对2020年的总统大选带来了变数。我们一起去看一看美国之音记者平章和宁露的报道。
美国商务部本周三公布的数据显示，2020年第一季度美国实际国内生产总值按年率计算下降4.8%，这是自2014年以来的首次下跌，也是自2008年金融危机以来的最大跌幅。新冠疫情迫使美国多数经济活动自3月中下旬开始陷于停滞，这显然给经济带来了沉重的打击。专家们预测，这种打击将在第二季度的经济数据中体现得更为强烈。现在问题的关键是经济下行将持续多久，复苏会在何时到来。
This was just the beginning of the economic pain, and the second quarter will be pretty unprecedented in terms of the contraction. The real unknown is what happens after that. You hear the constant debate in the United States between the what I call the leather debate. It's either a V, a W, a U, or an L.And I think the truth is probably going to lie somewhere in between. It may be an alphabet soup, if you will, where it's nonlinear and it's uneven across different regions and industries, depending on how the public health situation really progresses.
特朗普总统则对美国的经济复苏前景表示乐观。
But I can tell you the third and the fourth quarter in particular are going to be, I think, spectacular. We were talking about it with the executives. I think we're going to have a phenomenal third quarter.
在新冠病毒袭击美国之前，美国刚刚经历了历史上最长的一轮经济增长，失业率也下降至历史最低点。特朗普总统一直将强劲的经济表现作为他的一项主要政绩，也是他竞选中最强有力的武器之一。在漂亮的经济数据遭到疫情的洗刷之际，特朗普总统试图以过去的成绩来增强选民对于他是带领美国走出危机的最佳人选的信心。
We built the greatest economy anywhere in the world 2 months ago, and we're going to build it again. We're going to build it fast. It's going to go very quickly.
在新冠疫情爆发后，特朗普政府采取了一系列举措来试图缓解疫情对经济的伤害。其中包括与国会合作连续达成4项总计2.8万亿的经济救助法案，美联储向美国家庭和企业发放2.3万亿贷款，以及1项190亿的面向美国农民的救助计划等等。近日来，特朗普总统将工作重点转移至复工复业问题，制定各州重启经济的指导方针，并多次与企业界对谈，商讨重启经济的方案。分析人士预计，对于这些举措的评价，美国的舆论场当中将出现两种截然不同的声音。
You know, their pitch is going to be come fall that this wasn't as bad as it could have been. You know, we thought there might have been 2 million dead, but say we only got 70,000 dead. So we managed the crisis.And the economy is in recovery mode, so we deserve another term. While I think what the Democrats are going to say is that's not the truth, and that the economic situation is a lot worse, and that the pandemic got a lot worse because of the mishandling by the Trump administration. I think those are going to be the two narratives, and then it's going to be up to the voters to decide which one they agree with.
截止到本周三，综合民调机构 Real Clear Politics 汇集多家民调得出的最新平均数据显示，美国民众对于特朗普总统在经济问题上的应对举措的支持率为53%，不支持率为42.4%。史蒂夫·麦罗认为，对于那些在疫情爆发前就已经站在支持或反对特朗普的队伍里的选民，他们的立场不太可能因在疫情中遭受的经济创伤而改变。问题的关键在于生活在战场州的那些摇摆选民会选择相信哪一种说法。
You're talking about states that are very important from a political perspective, that are at the center of a lot of the pain being felt economically, particularly in the Rust Belt. So I think it's going to be hard for him to make this case if, for example, in Michigan, you still had 1 in 4 people unemployed come November.
另有分析人士认为，虽然美国选民面对经济疲软，宽容度相对较低，大选年出现经济下滑会为在任总统争取连任增加难度，但是如果民众将经济受挫的原因归咎于像战争、恐怖袭击或是重大疫情这样的黑天鹅事件，那么民众对于总统的宽容度就会大大增加。美国之音平章宁路华盛顿报道。
还在使用旧版的手机应用程序吗？美国之音新版应用程序上线了，界面更友好，内容更丰富，支持苹果和安卓客户端，适用于手机及各类平板电脑。旧版程序于1月15日正式下线，快去免费下载新版本吧。
因为禁足令而待在家中，不过他们中的有些人却想出了创造性的表演方式，我们一起去看一看。
We all have our own ways of dealing with stress. Mine is singing opera. I can't tell you how many people have sent me videos of quarantined Italians singing off their balconies, asking me, "Is this what you're doing right now?" I tried. Nobody in Northeast DC wants to sing along to Verdi, but trust me, I tried. University days, I auditioned for a show and was cast as Rapunzel in a DC production of Into the Woods, a show that should be starting its final week of rehearsals right now. While my production and so many others have been canceled, we really are trying to make the most of it. Though my neighbors might not be amenable to windowsill operatic concerts, musicians everywhere are still making music. I've attended countless virtual concerts, from live streams of past shows at the Metropolitan Opera in New York to Instagram lives of my friends playing in their garages.Some concerts have even served as fundraisers. And in January, along with auditioning, I started finally taking lessons to learn something other than G and D chords on my mandolin. I went in hard on the music goals this year, guys. My teacher has continued his lessons over Zoom, and while they aren't perfect, they're a great comfort to me in times when most forms of enjoyment are being denied. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at the number of self-released albums recorded in closets that are going to be coming out after this.And for those of us less organized in our music making, well, I hope the neighbors enjoyed it. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。 朋友们，大家好，今天是5月2号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国总统特朗普表示说，他相信新冠病毒是来自中国武汉的病毒实验室。不过，美国的情报机构发表声明说，相信病毒并非人造，并且会继续对新冠病毒的起源进行严谨的调查。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
截至美国时间5月1号星期五为止呢，美国境内感染新型冠状病毒的确诊人数达到了大约110万人，而死亡人数呢，已经大约是64000人。特朗普总统之前接受路透社专访的时候呢，他说新冠病毒就是不要在中国呢，不要让他竞选连任的一个证明。那么星期四呢，在白宫，特朗普总统表示病毒来自武汉的说法，他有信心。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
And my question is, have you seen anything at this point that gives you a high degree of confidence that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was the origin of this virus?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
同样在星期四呢，4月30号，美国的这个情报部门，美国国家情报总监办公室也针对此事发出了声明。声明当中说，情报界认同科学界普遍的观点，那就是新冠病毒不是人造或经过基因改造的。情报界将会继续严格审查新的信息和情报，以确定疫情爆发是经由接触感染动物引起的，还是由武汉某实验室的意外事故引起的。那么针对这个病毒的这个扩散呢，特朗普总统他在白宫说，其实有很多种可能性，包括是中国放任病毒来扩散等等。但是他认为呢，有可能其实情况是这个事情超出了中国的控制范围之内。那么他指责中国呢，为什么可以让中国人出国，例如说让中国人到欧洲等等。那不过呢，其实我们知道今天到底哪一个国家的国民能不能够入境美国，这个是由美国政府自己来决定的。那么此前呢，特朗普总统也呼吁中国要让美国的调查人员到中国进行调查，但是星期四呢，被问到说他是否会坚持这样做的时候，特朗普总统却说，中国现在对于美国至少还算是努力的保持透明。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
You insisting or would you insist on China allowing U.S. investigators into that lab to make?
Yeah, I don't want to go into that. We're going to see. So far, I think China has been.Trying to be, or at least they seem to be trying to be somewhat transparent with us, but we're going to find out. You'll be learning in the not too distant future. But it's a terrible thing that happened. Whether they made a mistake or whether it started off as a mistake and then they made another one, or did somebody do something on purpose? Say, hey, you know, I don't understand how traffic, how people weren't allowed into the rest of China, but they were allowed into the rest of the world. That's a hard question for them to answer.
那我们知道呢，直到3月27号，就3月底的时候呢，特朗普总统还在推特上表示说，他与习近平有良好的沟通，双方呢就这个新冠病毒进行了详细的讨论。中国已经对病毒有深刻的了解，美中两国正在紧密的合作，并且呢，特朗普总统还对他致上高度的敬意。但是呢，在4月30号，在白宫当中呢，有记者就询问了特朗普总统说，既然他认为中国要为新型冠状病毒的疫情负起责任，那么他是否会来要求习近平要负起责任？特朗普总统做出了以下的回答。
Well, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. But certainly, it could have been stopped. It came out of China, and it could have been stopped. And I wish they stopped it. And so does the whole world wish they stopped it, John.
那么白宫呢决定是在4月30号的这个社交距离的政策的最后一天不再延长，所以呢在5月1号的时候就已经这个停止了社交距离的政策。那特朗普总统呢也在今天，也就是星期五，前往大卫营进行度假。那么许多的州呢现在也开始放松与疫情管制相关的一些的措施。不过呢我们可以看到当中许多的州还是他们的感染的病例以及死亡的人数还是在节节上升，包括了密西根州现在呢，这个他们的州长希望能够继续保持管制的措施，但是有许多的抗议的民众带着枪支进入了这个州政府跟州议会当中来进行抗议。不过目前我们看到，在密西根州他们的感染人数是美国的第三高。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
美国国会要求中国政府对新冠疫情在全球失控的声浪越来越高。 国会共和党领袖更是要求两党议员在返回华盛顿之后对中国新冠疫情的起源进行全面的调查。来看美国之音国会记者李一华的报道。
美国国会呼吁就新冠病毒起源和传播展开全面调查的呼声可以说是越来越高。众议院共和党医师连线共同主席、来自田纳西州的共和党众议员洛伊在最近接受美国之音采访时表示，美国两党议员最早是在一月底从美国行政和卫生部门那里听取了有关新冠病毒的简报。不过洛伊议员批评说，美国一开始从世界卫生组织那里所得到的是错误甚至是虚假的信息。洛伊议员还提到了因最近引起各界猜测和怀疑的武汉病毒研究所。议员表示，至今还没有人能够厘清病毒起源的真相，而这是一个很大的问题。我们来听听洛伊议员怎么说。
We don't even really know the origin of the virus. Remember, we've had so much misinformation that allegedly came from a wet market, and then we know there's a level four virology lab there in Wuhan, and there's an investigation going on. Did the person maybe they were studying the virus in the Wuhan lab, and that is how it got out. That was the patient one. But we don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you can't believe any of the information you get out of China because some of it's so ridiculous. You get an epidemic, and now a world pandemic, and you have claims weeks ago that we don't have a single case here. Well, all that means is either lying about it or you're not testing anybody.
再谈到美国国会接下来将采取什么行动来向中国政府施压的问题上，曾经作为美军派驻在韩国长达13个月，并在期间到访过中国、香港、越南和台湾的洛伊议员表示，他认为美国接下来应该从经济着手，让中国感受到压力。我们接下来听听议员的说法。
Get the Chinese attention. And look, this has nothing to do with the Chinese people. This has to do with the Chinese government. I have many, many friends who are Chinese that have come here and live in this country now. It's nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with their government, the structure of their government, and how suppressive it is. You can see what's going on in Hong Kong right now. You saw what happened, which was tragic for the medical professionals who tried to warn the world in China. I have great respect for the doctors there and nurses who took care of all those people in their horrific conditions. And the way you hold them accountable...is that you begin to get their attention economically. And I think that's how you do it. And I think probably you're going to see that. We've talked about in our Congress about supply chains, about how we change those. I think companies around the world are seeing that it's an unreliable source that can't be trusted.
目前在国会当中主张向中国政府问责甚至索赔的大多是共和党人。民主党议员虽然也抨击中国政府缺乏透明度，并谴责北京打压吹哨人医生，不过民主党议员大多是把批评矛头对准了特朗普政府的抗疫措施。但民主党议员在向政府问责的同时，他们也将焦点锁定在武汉病毒研究所。民主党参议员莫菲和马基这个星期稍早致函国务卿蓬佩奥，要求国务院提供所有对武汉病毒研究所安全和管理担忧的相关信息。议员表示，唯有厘清事情的真相，才能够避免大流行病再次爆发。以上是美国之音记者李一华、钟瑞哲在华盛顿的电视报道。
国际社会因为新冠疫情而向中国政府追责索赔的声音越来越多，这其中的缘由有哪一些？我们一起去看一看。
美国总统特朗普星期一说，美国对中国处理新冠疫情不满，正在进行认真的调查。他还说，有很多方式让中国为疫情对美国和全世界造成的巨额损失承担责任。
There are a lot of ways you can hold them accountable. We're doing very serious investigations, as you probably know. And we are not happy with China. We are not happy with that whole situation.Because we believe it could have been stopped at the source, it could have been stopped quickly, and it wouldn't have spread all over the world. And we think that should have happened. So we'll let you know at the appropriate time, but we are doing serious investigations.
除了总统之外，以共和党人为主的一些国会议员正在推动法案，追究中国共产党政府的责任，并且有可能要求中国赔偿损失。另外，在欧洲、亚洲和非洲，越来越多的个人、地方政府和律师团体纷纷将中国政府告上法庭，向中国追责和索赔。 美国海军战争学院国际法教授卡拉斯卡告诉美国之音，向中国问责并非是因为疫情最早在中国爆发，而是因为中国政府早期在应对疫情的时候违反了国际卫生条例，并没有履行相关的法律义务。
It's not because there was a pandemic, because a pandemic can happen and it might happen even if everybody does the best that they can. The problem is that China had a legal duty to inform the World Health Organization and be transparent. China agreed in 2005 to the international health regulations. The IHR are a binding treaty that China is a party to, and China agreed to be transparent and to provide all the information to the World Health Organization.
越来越多的资料显示，从12月8日武汉官方所承认的第一例病人被发现，到1月23日武汉封城前，也就是疫情爆发的关键时候，中国媒体有意误导民众，让民众感到疫情不严重。非但如此，中国政府还对发出疫情警报的李文亮等医生进行打压。更重要的是，中国并没有及时向世界卫生组织提供人传人以及医护人员传染的信息。根据2005年修订的国际卫生条例，各成员国负有对国际关注的突发公共卫生事件作出迅速反应的法律义务，监督并共享有关潜在爆发的所有信息，包括临床说明、实验室的结果、风险来源和类型、人类病例和死亡人数、影响疾病传播的条件以及所采用的卫生措施。值得指出的是，2005年修订国际卫生条例是因为在2003年中国政府隐瞒 SARS 疫情，导致病毒蔓延到28个国家，造成774人死亡。中国也没有根据国际卫生条例的要求遏制疫情的发展。在美国政府2月2号宣布对中国断航时，中国外交部发言人华春莹甚至指责美国实在太不厚道。武汉市市长周先旺曾承认，在1月23日武汉封城前，大约500万武汉人离开了武汉，其中一些人前往到世界各地。
In fact, if you remember, Xi Jinping said that, that countries should not stop air flights from China. When he had already stopped air flights from Wuhan inside China, he knew that it was dangerous and that it was spreading.So he's actually individually culpable, along with the other people in the Communist Party regime. And they have blood on their hands. There's no excuse for it. And I think states should take legal countermeasures against the Chinese regime.
在中国的疫情缓解之后，中国开始向全球疫情严重的国家提供物资援助和派遣医疗援助队。并试图用这种方式打造自己是负责任的大国形象。另外，中国还试图通过病毒可能是美军投送、病毒源头不一定是武汉等叙事方式来改写疫情的历史。迈克尔·奥斯林是斯坦福大学胡佛研究所的研究员，他3月31日在《国家评论》杂志发表文章说，向中国问责是出于道义、全球治理以及未来的需要。他说，世界必须确保中国政府为自己的过失负责。他写道，如果中国成功地改写疫情的历史，结果会更加的糟糕。美国之音思阳华盛顿报道。
在5月3号世界新闻自由日即将到来之际，有活动人士警告说，在新冠疫情期间，全球都有政府打压记者的工作，甚至连成熟的民主国家也是如此。来看报道。
媒体权力组织无国界记者连续第四年将朝鲜排在其新闻自由指数排名的最后一位。根据朝鲜官方媒体的报道，该国新冠病例为零，科学家们对此提出了异议。无国界记者英国办事处主任瑞贝卡·文森特表示，新冠疫情期间，许多国家新闻自由受到削弱。
Some of the states that were already cracking down on press freedom have accelerated those crackdowns now, and others, and actually some of the same states, are targeting journalists who are trying to report the truth about what's happening in their countries and retaliating against those who do. Sometimes we can talk about it.In an almost theoretical way, sort of what press freedom means to all of us. But now we can see that actually the absence of press freedom or severe restrictions on it can have at times deadly consequences.
匈牙利出台新的法律，威胁要对任何被判定妨碍新冠病毒抗疫措施的人处以5年徒刑。 记者们说，他们担心会仅仅因为做自己的本职工作就会遭到监禁。在包括美国和英国在内的其他民主国家当中，活动人士表示，新冠疫情下政府的透明度正受到威胁。联合国秘书长最近表达了他的担忧。
More than ever, governments must be transparent, responsive, and accountable. Civic space and press freedom are critical.
无国界记者的文森特说，一些国家已经取得了进步。
So this year we can look at the Maldives, Malaysia and Sudan as examples of countries that have implemented reforms and risen up very quickly, substantially in the index. These are all countries where we've seen changes of government.
人身安全仍然是一个大问题。无国界记者说，2019年有49名记者遇害。
Although fewer journalists in 2019 were killed in conflict zones, a greater number than ever were killed in countries that are meant to be at peace. And so these are very often journalists who are being deliberately targeted.
在新闻自由指数中排名前五位的都是欧洲国家，但是那里也有一些新闻记者遇害的令人瞩目的案例，其中包括去年在北爱尔兰遇难的拉莱麦基，2018年在斯洛伐克被害的让·库西亚克和他的未婚妻马蒂娜·库斯尼罗娃，以及2017年在马耳他丧生的达芙妮·加里奇亚，他的家人仍在为他伸张正义。美国之音记者李奇维尔，伦敦报道。
本周宣布将基准利率维持在0%到0.25%之间不变，这对于经济意味着什么？而新冠疫情对于金融服务业又产生了哪些影响？就此，我采访了 PNC 金融服务集团副总裁、高级经济师叶文斌先生。今天我们来看采访的第二部分。
另外一方面，我们看到昨天啊，美联储宣布将基准利率维持在0%到0.25%之间，那么这对经济有什么影响呢？
美联储四月份的货币政策不变的主要的意义就是美联储已经使出了非常大力量的货币政策支持，在好多方面一个是基准利率基本上降到零了，也是重启了量化宽松政策。而且推出了好多新的这些流动性的工具，其实在美联储发布这个货币政策决定之前的前一天前两天，刚刚改了对地方政府，就是州政府和市政府的发债的就是的这些政府债权的一个流动性工具，放松了这个工具对政府支持的条款，所以美联储在这个正式决定政策的会议上没有不变，就意味着可以做出的所有的支持已经做出去了。
嗯。最后一个问题啊，我们目前看到这个新冠疫情对于美国各行各业都产生了很大的影响。那么在您看来，对您所在的这个金融服务业有哪方面的影响呢？
金融服务业会跟美国实体经济同步走的，也就是说，在美国经济好的时候，金融业也会同样有好的业绩，所以就是介入这次经济衰退，金融业肯定会受到影响的。但是呢，值得注意到的是在尤其在三月份，就是资本市场波动非常大的时候， 金融服务业没有像2008-2009年经济就是金融危机的时候有公司介入很困难的那种状况。这个就是上次经济危机以来对金融监管的这个力量加大了而这些金融的机构的就是资本水平更高就是简单的说是为这种很糟糕的就是可能性已经做好了准备。所以这个对美国复苏的前景也是一个也是一个优点，也就是说金融业可以容忍这次危机。
嗯，好的，非常感谢您今天接受我们的采访。
好，谢谢你再欢迎我上美国之音了。
嗯，谢谢。
最近发布的经济数据显示，新冠疫情为美国的经济带来了沉重打击，这也对2020年的总统大选带来了变数。我们一起去看一看美国之音记者平章和宁露的报道。
美国商务部本周三公布的数据显示，2020年第一季度美国实际国内生产总值按年率计算下降4.8%，这是自2014年以来的首次下跌，也是自2008年金融危机以来的最大跌幅。新冠疫情迫使美国多数经济活动自3月中下旬开始陷于停滞，这显然给经济带来了沉重的打击。专家们预测，这种打击将在第二季度的经济数据中体现得更为强烈。现在问题的关键是经济下行将持续多久，复苏会在何时到来。
This was just the beginning of the economic pain, and the second quarter will be pretty unprecedented in terms of the contraction. The real unknown is what happens after that. You hear the constant debate in the United States between the what I call the leather debate. It's either a V, a W, a U, or an L.And I think the truth is probably going to lie somewhere in between. It may be an alphabet soup, if you will, where it's non-linear and it's uneven across different regions and industries, depending on how the public health situation really progresses.
特朗普总统则对美国的经济复苏前景表示乐观。
But I can tell you the third and the fourth quarter in particular are going to be, I think, spectacular. We were talking about it with the executives. I think we're going to have a phenomenal third quarter.
在新冠病毒袭击美国之前，美国刚刚经历了历史上最长的一轮经济增长，失业率也下降至历史最低点。特朗普总统一直将强劲的经济表现作为他的一项主要政绩，也是他竞选中最强有力的武器之一。在漂亮的经济数据遭到疫情的洗刷之际，特朗普总统试图以过去的成绩来增强选民对于他是带领美国走出危机的最佳人选的信心。
We built the greatest economy anywhere in the world 2 months ago, and we're going to build it again. We're going to build it fast. It's going to go very quickly.
在新冠疫情爆发后，特朗普政府采取了一系列举措来试图缓解疫情对经济的伤害。其中包括与国会合作连续达成4项总计2.8万亿的经济救助法案，美联储向美国家庭和企业发放2.3万亿贷款，以及1项190亿的面向美国农民的救助计划等等。近日来，特朗普总统将工作重点转移至复工复业问题，制定各州重启经济的指导方针，并多次与企业界对谈，商讨重启经济的方案。分析人士预计，对于这些举措的评价，美国的舆论场当中将出现两种截然不同的声音。
You know, their pitch is going to be come fall that this wasn't as bad as it could have been. You know, we thought there might have been 2 million dead, but say we only got 70,000 dead. So we managed the crisis.And the economy is in recovery mode, so we deserve another term. While I think what the Democrats are going to say is that's not the truth, and that the economic situation is a lot worse, and that the pandemic got a lot worse because of the mishandling by the Trump administration. I think those are going to be the two narratives, and then it's going to be up to the voters to decide which one they agree with.
截止到本周三，综合民调机构 Real Clear Politics 汇集多家民调得出的最新平均数据显示，美国民众对于特朗普总统在经济问题上的应对举措的支持率为53%，不支持率为42.4%。史蒂夫·麦罗认为，对于那些在疫情爆发前就已经站在支持或反对特朗普的队伍里的选民，他们的立场不太可能因在疫情中遭受的经济创伤而改变。问题的关键在于生活在战场州的那些摇摆选民会选择相信哪种说法。
You're talking about states that are very important from a political perspective, that are at the center of a lot of the pain being felt economically, particularly in the Rust Belt. So I think it's going to be hard for him to make this case if, for example, in Michigan, you still had 1 in 4 people unemployed come November.
另有分析人士认为，虽然美国选民面对经济疲软，宽容度相对较低，大选年出现经济下滑会为在任总统争取连任增加难度，但是如果民众将经济受挫的原因归咎于像战争、恐怖袭击或是重大疫情这样的黑天鹅事件，那么民众对于总统的宽容度就会大大增加。美国之音平章宁露华盛顿报道。
还在使用旧版的手机应用程序吗？美国之音新版应用程序上线了，界面更友好，内容更丰富，支持苹果和安卓客户端，适用于手机及各类平板电脑。旧版程序于1月15日正式下线，快去免费下载新版本吧。
都因为禁足令而待在家中，不过他们中的有些人却想出了创造性的表演方式，我们一起去看一看。
We all have our own ways of dealing with stress. Mine is singing opera. I can't tell you how many people have sent me videos of quarantined Italians singing off their balconies, asking me, "Is this what you're doing right now?" I tried. Nobody in Northeast DC wants to sing along to Verdi, but trust me, I tried. Since my university days, I auditioned for a show and was cast as Rapunzel in a DC production of Into the Woods, a show that should be starting its final week of rehearsals right now. While my production and so many others have been canceled, we really are trying to make the most of it. Though my neighbors might not be amenable to windowsill operatic concerts, musicians everywhere are still making music. I've attended countless virtual concerts, from live streams of past shows at the Metropolitan Opera in New York to Instagram lives of my friends playing in their garages.Some concerts have even served as fundraisers. And in January, along with auditioning, I started finally taking lessons to learn something other than G and D chords on my mandolin. I went in hard on the music goals this year, guys. My teacher has continued his lessons over Zoom, and while they aren't perfect, they're a great comfort to me in times when most forms of enjoyment are being denied. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at the number of self-released albums recorded in closets that are going to be coming out after this.And for those of us less organized in our music making, well, I hope the neighbors enjoyed it. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。